Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, and when you have it, stand there with me, okay? Isaiah, stand up in where you're seated, except you'll be standing. Isaiah 9, verse 6, and then we're going to look at Colossians chapter 2. If you want to go ahead and flip over there and put a finger there and hold that, in the New Testament, the book of Colossians chapter 2. When you get it, stand up, and if you don't have a Bible or you have an iPhone or something, you can go ahead and stand with us as well. If everybody would just stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. I'm going to look at one verse in Isaiah and one verse, at least to begin with, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Isaiah 9, we read it last week. I'm not going to do a lot of background on it because I covered a lot of that last week. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us." That's good news. "The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So we're looking at these four names. Last week we looked at Wonderful Counselor. This week we're going to look at Mighty God. On next Sunday, I'll take a very short amount of time because we have worship and then we have the children's ministry program, but I will come up and we will cover Everlasting Father. That's probably the one that is a huge need for most of us. We have images of our Father that we need the Lord to help us with. Our Father that we need the Lord to help us with. And then on Christmas Eve, we will cover Prince of Peace. Colossians chapter 2. "And having disarmed the powers and authorities," he, meaning Jesus, "he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Father, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Lord, help us to understand the gift of strength that comes because we have Emmanuel, God with us, who is Mighty God as well. Lord, I pray that you would enrich our hearts and our homes. Lord, that you would awaken us, Father, to the strength of the Lord that is available because Christ was born. God, come alive in this place in every heart. Come alive in every person, God, as the God who gives strength in the season of weakness. In Jesus' name. And everyone who's here said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't cover a lot of the Hebrew last week, and I did study a little bit of the Hebrew, and that's been fun because I never took Hebrew, so I'm trying to learn as I go here. But this week, I kind of dove into the Hebrew a little bit, and there's two names here, two words, in El Gibor. Now, I'm probably not saying the second one right, but I know I got the first one right because I took a little bit of Spanish, and I remember my El and my La. So I know we have El correct, but say Gibor with me. Gibor. Okay, that was a little bit scattered. It's kind of like the rain moving across the roof. Oh, on the count of three, say Gibor. One, two, three. Gibor. So we're going to dig into both of those just for a couple of minutes, and I'm going to try to preach as quickly as possible here. But the word El is, we know that that's the Hebrew word for God. So when we see that, we have like Elohim, El Shaddai. You remember that Amy Grant song back in the 80s? That was a long time ago, wasn't it, church? Was it the 80s or 70s? It's probably the 80s. So we know that when we have the word El, we know that we're dealing with God. So that one we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on, other than just to say that there's several, you know, in some of the references I was reading, there's some speculation. Okay, what does the root word of El really mean? Well, there's, in one commentary I read, there's four different views of it. Regardless of what the root word is, get this. All of those commentaries or opinions, I'll say, they all have this underlying current or theme to them. And that is strength. That is might, power, greatness. So in all of these, we have this underlying theme. We know that our God is strong. We know that our God is powerful, and we know that He is mighty. Gibor, on the other hand, is a different word. Gibor is the word that we would use for might. It's a word that would stand for like heroic actions or mighty men. David's mighty men of valor. So that word mighty men is gibor. So something really special happens when you take these two words, El, gibor, and you put them together. You have a direct arrow pointing to one person. Anybody know who that person is? Jesus. The child who is born, the son who is given. So when you take this and you kind of dig into it, gibor means champion or manly. Everybody say manly. Come on, say it like you're manly. Manly. Like Tim the Tool Man, right? Manly. Gibor means manly, courageous, vigorous, hero. Hero. We love heroes, don't we? The Bible is full of heroes. You've got David. David's just a common young man. And he takes down Goliath. What does he use? He uses a sling and a stone. I mean, come on, he's a shepherd, guys. But he's mighty because God is with him, but he's a hero. We look at David's life and we say, that's a hero. We look at Joseph and we see a hero. We look at the Bible and we see heroes and we see the opportunity to understand from their life the might of our God. Heroes, I was thinking about heroes and I'm going to talk about heroes for a second. There's some common themes or things, I guess, that happen when you read about heroes. Anybody like, I'm going to go back to my childhood. Do we have any Super Friends heroes here? Or fans, not heroes. If we have any Super Friends heroes, we got another situation going on. But do we have any, y'all remember watching cartoons on Sunday morning? Anybody else watch Super Friends? Eric, you and I. Lisa? Really? That's awesome. You watch Super Friends? I'm going to tell you, just my own personal favorite has always been Superman. I like Superman. Does anybody else like Superman? There's a few of you. Some of you like Spider-Man, right? Some of you like Batman, and you've got all these things, all these different heroes. But when you study heroes and when you look at heroes from a zoomed out perspective, there's a few things that you can take away. Number one, you know that they're always going to set an example. They set an example, and there's a sense of identifying. Because somehow they're like me. Like Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, Spider-Man was probably the first teenage superhero. I mean, this is a guy that's struggling. He's insecure. He's got acne. Everybody picks on him, right? And suddenly he gets bitten by a spider and now he's a superhero, right? So we look at Peter Parker and we say, you know what? I kind of get it because I've got acne or people pick on me. So they set an example, and there's a sense to where we can share in their struggle. We can share in their experience because they're like us. They tend to live their lives moving toward the future. They tend to take risks. They understand that there's danger. But they weigh the danger and they say, you know what, the risk is worth it. So the Bible has all these heroes. You've got David and Joseph. You've got Daniel. You've got Superman. Superman. He could run faster than. Come on, y'all help me out here. He was more powerful than. He was able to. Y'all don't even need to preach. Some of these things are just built into us, right? Here's the thing about Superman. I'll just say this, and I'm getting to the point where I'm trying to wear my glasses more, so just understand I'm not a superhero. But here's Superman. Clark Kent, Superman. I mean, right? Clark Kent, Superman. Good thing Superman didn't live these days because he would never find a phone booth. You know? It would be a struggle. We have sports heroes. One of my, I love Aaron Murray, quarterback for Georgia. I love his heart, his tenacity, his work ethic. He's probably one of those guys I look at, up to him. I say, man, that's a guy. He's working hard. I know he's just a guy. I know he's a young man. But some, you know, society, we take these heroes and we put them up on a pedestal. It really can be a very bad thing because their lives are not a life that is worthy to emulate. It's not a life that you want to, when the microscope comes around and you take a look at it and you realize, you know what, there's some flaws there. Let's talk about the ultimate hero. His name is Jesus. El Gibor, mighty God. The child born to us, the son given to us, he's special. And his name tells us, it's an indicator. Last week we talked about names. We talked about how Adam's first job was to name. That looks like a donkey. That looks like a giraffe. I don't know what to call that one. We'll call it a hippopotamus. One day they'll sing a Christmas song about it. No other person in Scripture, get this, church, no other person in the pages of Scripture has the privilege of bearing the name of God. God wasn't called Moses. He wasn't called David. And he wasn't called Daniel. He wasn't called Abraham. He wasn't called Jeremiah. But this son, whom we celebrate, he bore the name of the Lord, El Gibor, mighty God. And he gives a gift to us. He gives to us the gift of strength, where we can know that we can press in. We can wait on him, as Isaiah said, I read earlier. We can wait on him, and he's going to renew our strength. Psalms 24:8, you don't have to turn there. Just listen to it. It says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. So he's strong and he's mighty. And you know what else he is? He's also a divine warrior. And you can read through the pages of Scripture and you can see where he is fighting on our behalf. He is for us and not against us. Psalm 89 verse 8 says, who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, you are mighty. And I love this. It says, your faithfulness surrounds you. So no matter where you are, Lord, you're faithful to me. And you're mighty. You're my strength. You're my hero. In a very good sense of the word. Manly. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. I think I've read this verse before. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives. It is he who gives. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms the covenant which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So we may think, yes, I'm a hard worker. We may think, I've got to gut it out. I've got to work it out. I've got to make it happen. But ultimately, it is God. It is he who gives us the ability to get up and go hit that time clock one more time. It is he who gives us the ability to go out there and get the weeds out of that garden. It is he who gives us the ability to get up on a Sunday morning and start lunch before church starts so that it'll be ready when we get home. Can somebody say amen? It is the Lord. He's the one who strengthens us. It's not because I will it to happen. It's not because I want it to happen. It's because I wait. Let me say it again. It's not because I will it or I want it. It's because I wait on him and he gives me the strength that I need. He is El Gibor, the mighty God. He gives us the ability to produce wealth. Jesus, the mighty God. I appreciate it. Tyler was just spot on this morning in leading worship. He referenced the cross. It's always the cross. Colossians 2:15. Let me read it from a different version. If you're there, Go ahead and flip over there. We read it earlier, but this is a different version. It says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it." It being the cross. Rick Renner, some of you guys receive or read his book, Sparkling Gems from the Greek. Rick does a study on this verse, and he talks about that he spoiled the principalities and powers. In other words, Jesus stripped them of all of their weaponry, all of their ability. He totally went in and stripped our enemy of his ability to attack us. He stripped bare naked, folks, disarmed them. He thoroughly plundered the enemy. He stripped them, spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them. In other words, he put them on display publicly. Hey, here's your enemy. He's not hidden. He's not hidden. Say, he's not hidden. He's out in the open. It's pretty obvious. Most of us, when we get just aware for a minute, when we're going through opposition or we're going through tough times or we're suffering or we have challenges in life, when we really get to that point where our mind gets right and our heart gets right with the Lord, we come to that point and we say, you know what? This is really nothing more than an attack of the enemy. He plundered the enemy, and then he took the enemy and said publicly, here he is. Put him on display. This word was, and this is all Rick Renner. It means the display of captives, weaponry, and trophies that were seized during war on foreign soil. So while the captor, the victor, he had all of these weapons and trophies and all of these spoils, all of these things that were his now. He's very confident, kind of a rule. I've got this, all this stuff. This is Jesus, not Rick. This is not you. This is Jesus, folks. This is our mighty God. And he stands publicly and he says, I have all of this. I have won all of this. I have plundered the enemy. I have taken every weapon that he has. I have won the battle. And if you don't believe that, then let me put publicly on display, here it is for you. I've got this, is what Jesus is saying. I've got this. And so it's a day of confidence for the believer. But for the enemy, it's a day of humility. And put him there publicly. Jesus boldly, confidently, loudly, blatantly, and publicly exposes and displays our enemy. He's defunct. He's defeated. He is destroyed. Triumphing over it. And he works through the Greek on this, Renner does, and he says what that is referencing is this. Did Thomaston have a parade? Yeah. Has it already come and gone? Yeah. I was waiting for the parade in our little community. I hadn't seen it yet, but some of my neighbors, y'all just ride by and beep at me, and then I'll let the parade happen, okay? Triumphing over, it references a parade. So that what would happen is, this is a Greek word, classical Greek, that was referring to when the enemy was defeated, word would spread back to the hometown. Hey, guess what? We're victorious. Get ready. Line the streets. Everybody get your kazoo ready or whatever. Get ready because guess what? We have won. And we are victorious, and the king is getting ready to come in. And not only is he going to come in, but he's going to come in with all of the spoils and the trophy and the gold and everything that we've won. It's all ours, and it's going to be publicly displayed, and they're going to come right through these city gates, and we're going to be on the sides, and we're going to be hooping and hollering and cheering because we are victorious. That's our mighty God. That's who Jesus is in our life. And when that king comes, so in other words, triumphing over. Let me go back to my text for a minute. What that reference is it references a getting ready for a triumphal procession. Jesus, victorious. Jesus is, I love, thank you so much, Angie, for that testimony. Yes, Jesus victorious. By His stripes, yes, we are healed. Jesus, yes, Prince of Peace. Yes, Mighty God. Yes, Wonderful Counselor. When I don't know where else to turn, I know I can turn to Him. I know He's Everlasting Father. When I'm struggling with my identity or I'm struggling with my security, I know I've got a God who's on my side because He's everlasting. He never had a beginning and He'll never have an end, church. He's always for me. He's always for you. He's always for us. And so that's our mighty God. And Paul is writing to the Colossian church. He says, having disarmed the powers, going back to the verse, this reference I used earlier, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This Christmas, I love the baby. I love the nativity. I love to see where Christ is represented. I love that in some of our communities still we can call it Christmas. Amen. I'm not hung up if somebody says, I don't think they're going to hell if they say happy holidays. It's okay. Grace and peace. But it's still about Jesus. I love that. I love the birth. But I know that if the birth only happens and the death and resurrection never happen, I'm left without hope. I can't go on because I don't have hope. Jesus, yeah, we celebrate your life. We exchange gifts, Christmas present. But ultimately, what we need to experience is Christmas presents. The gift that God gives is Jesus. Made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The difference is the cross. The gift that God gives is the Son. That's the gift God gives. Someone asks you and you're passing out those invite cards, tell me, what is this gift that God gives? The gift is the Son. Our pastor wants to talk to you about the Son. The gift that the Son gives. Church, I want to just encourage you. The gift that the Son gives is strength. Because the resurrection showed the power of God working in the most profound and miserable human weakness. The resurrection shows the power of God working in the most profound and miserable human weakness. Do you know what it is? It's the cross. It's the resurrection. The resurrection proves God works in the midst of my greatest weakness. There was a cross, and we had it up here a few weeks ago. There was a cross that a very real man who left heaven and came to earth, and he walked the face of this earth. This is the gospel. And he walked the face of this earth to give hope and to give strength and to give his life that we can have life. The gift of God is the gift of the Son. The gift of the Son is the gift of strength. So maybe you're with us today. I want to ask Karen if you will come on up. Maybe you're with us. And you say, how does the resurrection give me strength? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7. We're going to find out when we look at this verse that in hardship and troubling times, we can find strength in the death and resurrection of Christ. In hardship and in troubling times, we can find strength in the death and resurrection of Christ. Are you there? Say, I'm there. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show. So it's there for a purpose. That this all-surpassing power is from God. It's not from us. We are. Some of you are. Some of you are right here squarely where Paul is writing. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Oh, that's good news. We are persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Listen to this verse. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I don't get the life of Jesus unless I've got the death. You could call that verse your death sentence. That's my death sentence right there. It's Jesus. It's His death in me. Because when I carry around the death of Jesus, then I get to carry around the life of Jesus. That gives me strength. And Paul is writing, he said, I'm perplexed, I'm crushed, I'm struck down, I'm having a tough time, church. This is a leader, David. This is a leader writing to the church. He's very real. He's very human. You know what I love about Paul? I think Paul in this verse reveals a real sense of his humanity. Hey, I'm struggling. I don't have it all together, but I do have the one who holds all things together in my life. I may not get it, but He gets me, and He died for me. And because He died for me, I can walk in the life that He has for me. Flip over to Philippians. This is how you gain strength. It's through the cross. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. This is from the New Living Translation, so maybe a little different than yours. Philippians 3, verse 8. Trying to decide where to start. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. Let me say that again. For God's way of making us right with Himself, it depends on faith. It's not feeling motivated. It's not even factual motivated. It's faith motivated. I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to reference one more scripture. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus says these words, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me." I want to say something that's very, you may struggle with it, but bear with me for a minute. Salvation is free. We know that, right? It's a free gift. It's the gift of God, who would will that no man should perish but have everlasting life. But discipleship will cost you something. Discipleship will cost you something. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. See, I can't be a disciple if I'm only following Rick. If I'm only following my feelings or the way that I think or what I think fits for this situation or this scenario in my life or this scenario in the church, I can't be a disciple. I've got to take up the cross and deny myself and deny my thoughts and my notions and my ideas and say, Jesus, You're Lord of all. So I'm going to take up the cross, I'm going to deny what I think, and I'm going to follow You. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. And the government shall rest upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. For unto us, for unto you, for unto us, for unto me, for all of us in this sanctuary, for all of us in the community that we live in, our neighbors, your co-workers, the gift is given. His name is Jesus. Mighty God is one of His names, El Gibor. No other name has that El attached to it, or Gibor, and refers to the Son, Jesus, the gift of strength. So I want to ask, I know we've got some folks that are on prayer team, ministry team, if you guys would come on up.